Following the Rules is in this morning's sermon. I retitled it as I sometimes I do that when I'm studying. I'm like, I like this title a little better. So you can go with either one you like. We're going to call this Heaven Rules. Heaven Rules. And from the 103rd Psalm and the 19th verse, our Bible reads, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Heaven rules, church. And if the church is going to be distinctive, we have got to follow the rules. You know, sometimes we think that hard preaching and distinctive preaching is a turnoff to people. When we start pointing out the error of our ways, when we talk about man-made doctrines and creeds, we often are worried about those that are visiting with us, those that are on the different type of persuasive, faith-based initiative or institution or religious group. But you know what I found out this week? That the truth is the truth is the truth. Wednesday before Bible class, I got a call from a woman on 103rd and State Street in the city of Chicago. The excitement in her voice was contagious. If she could have leaped through the phone and kissed me, she would have. Now, I'd have had to get a good look at her first. And then, no. But she started off her conversation talking about, if I could get there, I would, to get one of these CDs. There is a lady who goes to this senior home, and in their laundry room, there's this fishbowl. And honey, there's a sign on the fishbowl that says, "Free, take one." They're giving this away, she says. And I was listening to this sermon entitled, The Outlaws. How can I get me a copy of this? And I'm going to sit my husband down tonight and we're going to listen to the Outlaws. And she was so contagious. It's so exciting. And it was so exciting for me to hear, too. That was very encouraging. And Sister Coleman, who is ill and not with us and we need to keep her in our prayers, is the one who makes sure that those baskets stay full in this senior home. So sometimes the little things that you do really do affect people. If that weren't enough, the next day I got another call. I'm in the church building and there's another lady talking about the lady that called before that played her, the Outlaws. She only got to hear half of it and she was mad that her bus ride was over. The lady wouldn't give her her CD, so she said, "Well, you can call this number and they'll send you one, girl." She said, "So I'm calling to get the Outlaws and Keeping the House Built." We got to make some extra one of those, Jackie. She says, "And if you would, I have a youth group. And they need to hear this message." Amen. Amen. I said, "I'll send you one for each kid." That's powerful. Yes. That's moving. But if you listen to that message again, it wasn't a message about trying to get along. It was a message about the truth and its distinctiveness to the way that the world is prospering right and wrong. And they were moved by it. And we want to move you this morning again as well as we talk about heaven rules. When heaven rules are followed, the one will of God is always the result. It brings salvation and godliness into our lives because the church is distinct. And although there are all types of kingdoms in the world and different nationalities, races, and even denomination, heaven still rules. And we must follow those rules. Where the rules are concerned, there are two realities that exist. There's the reality that the rules are not followed. This we will call disobedience. And there's the reality that the rules are followed. We'll call this obedience. Sound pretty simple so far? We'll explore these two realities as well as what results from obedience to the rules. Rules bring about a certain distinctiveness that is evident to those who observe rule followers. If you're going to get the most out of your spiritual life, your church existence, the body of Christ, you need to follow the rules. And people will observe that. You know, because today, according to modern thinking, following the rules has become something that the weak do. Our society tends to reward rebellion. We revel in the idea of individualism and creativity. Many falsely believe that the rules inhibit these two desirable pursuits. The belief that following the rules makes one a prisoner to the rule makers has gotten us way off track. You see, my Bible says, if you know the truth will set you free. Children believe the rules keep them from having fun, when in actuality, the rules are what free them to have fun and enjoy life. Many a child and adult have found themselves prisoner due to breaking the rules. Unwanted pregnancies, breaking the rules. Disproportionate debt, incarceration, financial distresses, adultery, injuries, illnesses, inappropriate relationships can all have their root in disobedience to the rules. The rules are not there to punish us. Where heaven is concerned, the rules are there to liberate us, to set us free from sin and death. God commands that all men everywhere should follow his rules. He has dominion over all things, yet he does not make you obedient. This is a choice. It's left up to us whether we will follow the rules or not. So let's first deal with what happens in regards to the disobedience to the rules. In disobedience to the rules, please recognize that God does not make you obey the rules. You have a choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. They had everything. Matter of fact, they had one choice. They either obey or disobey. Today, we still have one choice. We either can obey or disobey. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He commands all people everywhere to follow the rules. There was a time where he winked at our disobedience, but not anymore, because we're living in the last days. And he calls for all people everywhere to repent. So recognize, you are disobedient to the rules if you make your own. You're disobedient to the rules if you change the ones given to you by adding or subtracting from them. That's being disobedient to the rules. You've changed them. You're being disobedient to the rules if you ignore the rules. Sometimes we think we can just get away with it by ignorance. We think, well, I didn't know is an excuse. But ignorance is no excuse for not following the rules. You know, I read in my Bible that we have in our own selves, since Adam and Eve ate of that tree, we have a knowledge of right and wrong. We know right from wrong. Ignorance to the rules is no excuse. You are disobedient to the rules if you know them and do not do them. So if you don't know them, no excuse. If you do know them, no excuse. God's kind of got everything covered, doesn't he? You're disobedient to the rules if you do know them and then you refuse to obey. Just to draw in the contrast there between sins of commission and sins of omission. You see, we know to do good and we don't do it. And we know what we should be doing and we refuse to do it as well. Be aware that heaven's rules are over all men. Nobody gets to escape heaven's rules. We read in that 103rd Psalm that the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Past, present, future, his kingdom is over all. There are not several gods whom several people answer to. There is one God whom all people answer to. You need to understand that. Men, history, and even the church have no authority over heaven. We know it is the other way around, don't we? Heaven has authority over men. Heaven has authority over the traditions and the doctrines and the history of men. Heaven has authority over the church. So heaven rules. That's what makes us distinctive. We follow those rules. Heaven's rules, heaven reveals to us the rules, not the other way around. We don't send the rules from the church to the throne. The throne sends the rules from heaven to the church. Not how some churches have gotten it backwards. They make up a rule and then send it on up to heaven for you to have to obey. Oh no, the obedience and the rules start in heaven and they come down to men. Let's talk about men, history, and the church as we look at obedience and disobedience. Where disobedience is concerned, men do not make up the rules of salvation and godliness. If you know of any man that is making up salvation, he's not following the rules. If he's made up a way to be saved, those aren't heaven's rules. Those are men's rules. The church is distinct because men don't make up the rules. Brother Johnson, that's who I am. I don't get to make up the rules. And if I did get to make up the rules and you didn't follow the rules, we wouldn't have this many here this morning. Some of you would be on punishment. Rules made by men will be done away with, the Bible says. Rules made by men only last for a season. You see, man has a way that when he makes a rule, he changes it. Or when he makes a rule and finds out that it didn't work out, he gets rid of it. But our God is the same today as he was yesterday. And the same way he is today, that's how he's going to be like tomorrow. When you face God in the judgment, you're not going to face some new rules. Because heaven's rules are everlasting. And we have to follow those rules. Listen to what Paul writes to the Colossian church in chapter 2 and verse 22. He says, these are all destined to perish with use. Because they are based on human commands and teachings. That's what Paul is saying. Human commands, human teachings are all destined to perish even as they use them, even as they're being prospered, even as they're being made up, they will perish in the end. And men are still doing it. Men are still making up rules. We're voting for men and putting them in what we consider spiritual offices, church offices, and then allowing them or following the rules that they make. Not even opening up our Bibles and following heaven's rules. So men do not make up the rules of salvation and godliness. Neither does history. Some denominations use history as the mode of determining what is righteousness and what is not. History does not make up the rules of salvation and godliness. The Bible is clear in the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Jesus said, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. You're following your history is what Jesus is saying. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. But many a denomination use their own church history to dictate what the rules should be in the future. That's sort of a trial and error approach. That's sort of seeing what worked in the past and then trying to predict that in the future or in the present as a rule. Well, guess what? God is omnipresent. He's in the past, present, and future. Been there, done that. Seen it all, knows it all. When he makes rules, it's good for all time. Not sometime. History does not make the rules for salvation and godliness. You don't want to have to follow your history, because then some of us pick our own histories. You know, we're real good at lineages and became real popular a few years ago, and it's still popular today, and some of you in this congregation do it that I know of. You follow your family tree. You follow your heritage. And following your heritage, there are histories that come along with that. And if, you know what? It doesn't matter what your heritage was or what your history was. It has no bearing on your righteousness. It has no bearing on the rules that come from heaven. History, men, do not make up the rules for salvation and godliness. Here's something that might shock you. Even the church does not make the rules of salvation. The church is not a judicial institution. Although we'll pass judgment in a minute, won't we? We'll send all kind of people to hell if given the chance, and send ourselves to heaven. We're a good judge on ourselves, and we consider ourselves a good judge on others as well. The church is not a judicial institution, nor is it a legislative body. The legislative body makes the rules, right? The judicial institution judges according to those rules. The church does not legislate righteousness. It is not our job to make the rules here at the Church of Christ that meets in Brookfield. The rules have already been set. The law has already been given. All I can do for you, even this morning, is to reveal to you what the rules are and what the law is. The church is not on earth to judge and condemn man. Neither is the church on earth to make up rules or advance religious ideals authoritative to the condition of the salvation and the souls of men. That is not our purpose. And if we are acting in that way, we are not the church of Christ. The church is to make the will and law of God made known, which has been revealed by the prophets, by Jesus, and the apostles. If you are not one of these, you may not advance any religious ideas. So if you're not a prophet, if you're not Jesus, if you're not one of his apostles, you don't get to make any rules. And you know what? They didn't get to make rules either. They only gave us what the Father had given them. He is the lawgiver. This is already the rules given to us by his word. And this will last for all eternity. This will judge us in the end. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, and we read this recently. The Bible says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers. He spoke through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And through him, he made the universe. That's how God speaks to us today. Son is the word. So men do not get to make up the rules of salvation and godliness. History does not get to make up the rules of salvation and godliness. The church does not get to make up the rules of salvation and godliness. And if you're following any of those who have made up their own rules, you are disobedient to the rules. How do I know the difference, Brother John? How do I know if I'm being disobedient? How do I know if my church has not made up some rules that are just the commands of men? How do I know that I, as Jesus said, that my worship is in vain and that I'm living according to the commandments, the doctrines, teachers of men? One way you can find out is go ask your minister, your priest, or whoever if you all have a creed. Ask them if you got a creed. And if they got a creed, that's a man-made doctrine. Now, they might use some biblical words. They might even say it has some biblical ideas. But if it's a creed and you're following that instead of following this, that's not a distinct church. That's not following the rule. Another way you can find out is if you have a vicar that stands in the place of Christ here on earth. Oops. In other words, the vicar of Christ gets to make up rules because he's here on earth to make up rules and make up the authority of Christ here on earth. He stands in Christ's place. If you got one of those, that's a man-made church. They're not following the rules. See, there's only one Christ. He don't need anybody to speak for him. He has already spoken. He's already given us the law. We need to reveal what he has already preached, what he has already taught. If you're doing one of those things, you're in disobedience to the rules. Let me talk about the glass being half full, because that's the kind of guy I am. Let's talk about obedience to the rules. Let's talk about what we can do, not what we can't do for a moment, shall we? Once again, God does not make you obey the rules. So by obeying heaven's rules, listen to me, church. Listen, saints. By obeying heaven's rules, you express your choice of lordship in your life. Whom you choose to obey is whom you have expressed, who you have shown who you're going to follow, who you're going to obey, who is Lord, who is in charge, who has the authority in your life. That's what obedience shows. If you obey your rules, you are the Lord. Amen? Y'all hear this morning? You follow your own rules, you're the king. You're the boss. You're the Lord. If you obey Satan's rules, who's the boss? Satan is Lord. And there are churches that have been established to Satan. So those who follow Satan's rules, Satan is Lord. So if you follow your rules, you're Lord. You follow Satan, Satan is Lord. If you obey men, then they are Lord. If you obey the Pope is Lord. If you obey the bishop is Lord. Whomever you obey, that who is Lord. That's who is Lord. If you obey history rather than tradition and society, then tradition and society are your lords. That's what you obey. They eventually make man Lord anyway. And history cannot trump the revealed will of God. Whatever God has revealed, that's what the law is. That's what the truth is. That's the rules. Those are heaven's rules. If you obey denominational creeds, a denominational hierarchy, so-called religious orders, then those are your lords. Let's be clear on that. These you have chosen to obey and follow. They are the rules by which you submit your will, and they become your master and your Lord. You do as you're told. In John 14 and verse 21, Jesus says again, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus gives the rules. You follow Jesus' rules. He's the Lord. And he will reveal himself to you. So men, history and church, men can follow the rules. We can follow the rules of salvation and godliness, which are heaven's rules. Heaven's rules are not something that is not attainable. Heaven's rules are obtainable for all men everywhere. Otherwise, God couldn't command that all men everywhere repent. Obedience does not come by making up your own rules. It comes from something other than yourself. It comes from something greater than yourself. In Romans 10, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Here's Paul talking about his Roman Jewish brethren. He's saying, I wish they could be saved. For I can testify about them, he says, that they are zealous for God, like many people. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. This is your Bible, verse 3. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And Paul goes on to discourse. So he's saying, I wish the Israelites could be saved. They're zealous for God. I hear them praising his name. I hear them lifting him up. But their zeal is not according to knowledge. Their zeal is not according to the rules. And since they did not know the rules of heaven, they made up their own. We do that today for many reasons.
So man can follow the rules. We follow them by faith. Righteousness that saves by believing and obeying the word of God. Men can follow the rules. History. History shows obedience to God and the rules of heaven reveals a favorable period for those found obedient. You obey God, your history is going to look different than everybody else's. That's the distinctiveness of the church. Was not Israel distinct in its day? Was not Abraham distinct in his day? Was not Isaac and Jacob distinct in their day? Was not David distinct? Was not Elijah distinct? Was not Isaiah distinct? Was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Were they not distinct? What made them distinct? They followed the rules. The church of Christ is distinct in this world. So follow the rules. Because heaven rules, and those rules must be followed. Such as the early New Testament church, spread all over the world by the grace of God. Why? They followed the rules. Heaven's rule. Even though they were persecuted, they still grew. They followed the rules. Nationalized Israel of times of old, they were blessed because they followed the rule. They were in Egypt. They were being tormented. They were being persecuted, but yet they grew innumerably, so much so that Egypt became worried about it. A distinct history from following the rules. And today we have spiritual Israel. That's you and I. And it's you and I waiting for the coming of the Lord. And something needs to make us distinct as we wait for his return. And the something that makes us distinct is not my education. It's not my good looks. It's not the suit that I wear. It's not the voice that I have. What makes me distinct above all men is my hope and my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes you distinct also. It makes you different than everybody else. Colossians 2 and verse 20 says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Why do we do that? That doesn't make us distinct. We've been born again. In Jeremiah 42 and verse 6, the Bible says, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God. They recognize if we follow the rules, it will go well with us. We have to recognize that, church. Follow the rules, it's going to go well with you. Maybe not always as the world determines what is good and bad. But as far as your soul is concerned, as far as eternity is concerned, it will go well with you. Hebrews 12 and 9 says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? We have an example here. We have fathers who disciplined us, and we obeyed them, and we respected them for it. How about the Father of your soul? The Father of your spirit. Should we not obey him and live? So history, through history, if we're obedient, things will go well with us. Now the church. The church, when obedient, is blessed in every measure. Christ gives himself for his bride, whom we are if we keep his commandments. We are the bride of Christ if we keep his commandments. The church reveals heaven's rules to man. The obedient and the disobedient, so that man is without excuse. All that I could preach about, all that I can give, if I'm following the rules, are heaven's rules. And I give those rules to saint and sinner alike, and sinner saint, which is us. And it are those rules that we have to follow, those rules that give us life, those rules that will save us in the end. Bible, Paul talks to the Ephesian church, he says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, he says, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're the ones that have to reveal the truth. We're the ones that have to reveal this mystery that had been hidden in the ages of who the Christ was going to be. That was a mystery. Jacob knew there was going to be a Savior one day, but he didn't know who it was. That was a mystery. Isaiah wrote about the Savior that was to come into the world. He didn't know who it was. It was a mystery. The prophet spoke to it, but it was a mystery. But now that mystery has been revealed. And God has given that knowledge to the church to reveal it to all men, and all those things that he taught us to obey. There are a ton of scriptures, people, verifying the fact that men should obey God rather than man, obey God rather than history, obey God rather than earthly institutions. And these must be studied to aid to your obedience. Some of you, I think, believe you're going to get biblical knowledge by osmosis. You know, maybe some of you are sleeping on the Bible. You think it's going to get in your head that way. No, it's going to take some study. It's going to take some study. It's going to take some leaning on your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you with that study. If you're leaning to your own understanding, you're in danger. So you need to take advantage of the fellowships that we have, the assemblies that we have, the studies that we have, so that you will know the truth, that your obedience can be complete in God. This is something we do not pursue, and we do so to the detriment of our souls. Your obedience is directly related to your workman's study of God's word. And all of us need to avail ourselves of that very study. So let's talk about, lastly, the result of following the rules. There are many blessings for the obedient. There are many benefits for those who obey God's rules, heaven's rules. The obedient has much to gain from following what it is that has come down from the throne that is in heaven. However, what I want to focus on is not those rewards, not what I'm going to get out of being obedient. I want to focus in on the oneness that the rules produce. You see, God's rules produce something distinctive that doesn't look like and isn't like anything else. God's word is just like a lot of things we understand. Let me read you some scripture and give you an example. In Matthew 7, verses 15 through 24. Matthew 7, 15 through 24. Jesus writes this for our admonition. I hear some pages, so I'll wait for you to get there. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 24. Because of time, you need to let me start. Watch out for false prophets, Jesus says. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Heaven rules. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. Those are people making up their own rules. Jesus will say to them, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, the rules produce only one kind of fruit. It does not produce several types of fruit. There's only one seed, therefore there's only one fruit. I did a little research on this. I wanted to make an example. So I did, went to the old internet. And I learned that in the United States alone, there are around 2,500 different varieties of apples. Did you know that? In the world, there's over 7,500 different varieties. Now, only 100 of those are produced commercially that you wind up seeing in your grocery stores and eat in your homes. So there are many kinds of apples. Wouldn't we all agree? However, you cannot have more than one type of apple on the same tree. You understand that? If you plant a Macintosh seed, you are going to get Macintosh apples on the tree. Amen? If you wanted a golden delicious apple from the tree, you out of luck. Because Macintosh seeds only produce Macintosh apples. If you want a golden delicious apple, you got to plant a golden delicious seed. Now, you can't have golden delicious and Macintosh on the same tree. Now, this word is the seed of God. It produces Christians and Christians only. I don't care if you want music in your church. That's not the kind of seed that this is not the kind of fruit this seed produces. I don't care if you want what the Catholics got. That's a different tree. Now, if you want to mess with the seed, you see, because we tamper with seed today. You can tamper with the seed and change the fruit, but you still only get one kind of fruit on that tree. And that's what we have here. That's what makes the church distinctive. There's one seed. There's one word. There's one way. There's one truth. And the results of following the rules of heaven produces only one thing. That's what makes the church distinctive. The result of heaven's rule is the same. If you plant seed that is God's word, you will only get one kind of result. One kind of Christian. One kind of church, one kind of salvation, one kind of rule, one kind of authority, one. That's all you get. There's a lot of seed, but it's all the same thing. In Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6, the Bible tells us the same thing. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who has established his throne in heaven and rules over all men. So saints and friends, this Bible only produces one thing. I know you see a lot of different trees out there. And there's a lot of different fruit. But it didn't come from the one Bible. It came from something else. What did it come from? It came from men. It came from history. It came from other denominations. But it didn't come from the Bible. Because the Bible only produces one thing. One salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God commands that you follow the rules. The rule and authority that is his. Where do you find yourself today? Whose rules are you following? Are you obedient or are you disobedient to the rules? What will be the result of your life in regard to the great rule giver that is in heaven, who sits on his throne, who has all rule, all authority has been given to him. And he rules from there without your help and without your interference. You know, there was a great king back in Old Testament times. And I'm going to close with this. His name was Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right.
Nebuchadnezzar got to the point where he thought he was great. Yes. He thought that he had done all kinds of things. He had even gotten to the point where he thought he was God and should be worshipped. And Daniel writes for us an account of Nebuchadnezzar's life in chapter 4 of his book, verses 25 and 26. Listen to what he says and we'll close. You, Nebuchadnezzar he's talking about, will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. In other words, can I paraphrase? He's like, you're going to eat the grass. The dew is going to come up on your body in the morning. Seven times is going to go by until you follow the rules. Until you acknowledge that God is God over all and that his kingdom is over all the kingdoms of men and he takes them and gives to whoever he pleases. Until you submit to the rule, you'll not be saved. You'll be as a beast. And then verse 26, our closing passage, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Amen. That's in the Bible. And the kingdom that was ours in the days that God created the earth will be ours as well when we acknowledge that heaven rules. How is heaven ruling today that we might find ourselves in union? He rules through the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus the Christ. And he's ruling today from that throne that the psalmist was talking about. All rule and authority is his. And he administers for them. And his Holy Spirit came down into the world. 12 faithful men pointed out the way and the direction to become a part of the church that is obedient to heaven's rules. And men cried out when they recognized that by their history they had erred. And did not recognize that Jesus was the Christ. They wanted to know the rules. They cried out, what must we do to be saved? And the Holy Spirit answered. There was God answered, not men. God answered and said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you for the remission of your sins. And this promise is not just for you, but it's for your children and your children's children. Those that are far off. That's us. We're a long way removed from that day. And make no mistake about it. Heaven still lives. We're a long way from that time when those fiery, golden tongues of fire sat on the apostles. Make no mistake about it. We still have to follow that reason. They were the last ones given the authority to commit rules for men. That was the apostles that said, repent and be baptized. So if you're here this morning, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be distinct, if you're going to be a member of the church of Christ that Jesus died for and shed his blood for, then you need to hear his word. That's that seed you're talking about. And you have to believe it. Believe it is a matter of obedience. You can't just hear something and then not do something about it. You don't do something about it, you don't believe it. You're not acting in it. You're not expecting to receive that which you just heard about. And what you just heard about is the salvation that's come down to men by Jesus. After hearing and believing, you must repent. That means turning away from that golden delicious tree. Keep on over there with the Macintosh. Turning away from those institutions that have been built and made by men and start working, living, being a part of the church established by Jesus himself. And this is the turn around. After that, when you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as he confesses you before his Father in heaven. And here's the rule. I didn't make it up. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, man has made up some ways because they don't like that. They said that you could just pray. That's a man-made rule, not anybody. They made up another way. They said you could just ask Jesus into your heart. That's a man up. That's made. The rules that came down from heaven, we have recorded from the scriptures. And they said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the remission of your sins. So if you're here today, and you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that today. Because we have water. Because heaven demands that we have water. Heaven demands that we are prepared as a church. together at this time. Stand and encourage one another. Some will come forward and take up.